Hi, I'm Pat Lamb, and you're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate.
You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're two, and soon to be three, season card holders at Ashton Gate who love the club, the game, and all things Bears. This week, we pick over the carcass that was the massacre in BS3. And we're not talking about the hammering of falcons at Ashton Gate last weekend. No, we're talking about the first ever live pod here at the Bristol Beer Factory taproom. We look back on an evening of structured chaos, discuss the learnings, and then move quickly on to more pressing matters. That is the fantastic victory yesterday away at Welford Road that keeps our playoff hopes in our own hands. 19-0 down on 69 minutes and we're looking down the barrel, but shots fired from the bench, and in particular from Max Lahiff and the returning Harry Thacker, and a yellow card to Mike Brown, and we haul it back from the brink with a last gasp try and conversion to make it 21-19. It's fair to say that the home crowd didn't take to that too well, but boo-hoo, that's life, baby. We talk about the game with help from selected short, sharp summaries and look forward to the final two games in the run-in. Dare we believe? Spoiler alert, we do! Bristol Bears women were also in action today in the Allianz Cup final at Shaftesbury Park. And despite leading at half-time, were eventually defeated by a strong Saracen side. We have a quick chat about that and their hopes of the run-in, and then we finally run through a bit more business from the week, including some contract news, the supporters Q&A at the HPC, and introduced a new feature, news from the media, as we noticed a flurry of Bears-related articles in the national press this week. I'm Pete, and I'm joined by Lee and Miles for a cheeky beer and a bit of rugby banter at the Bristol Beer Factory Taproom Studio Bar. Well, lads, this Hello. Time last week... We were, well, what is it? We'd already done the bricking ourselves bit. We'd already started, and we were already about 5 pints down, weren't we? So anyway, lads, I mean, it was fun, wasn't it? And we don't want to talk about it too much. But from me, just say cheers, lads, for coming up, doing it. We talked about it a lot, but we you know, it was a team effort. And also, I'd obviously like to say thanks to everybody that was here. We did that last week. But what were your thoughts on the night then? Lee, how did you feel?
I think the learnings I'll have to take personally is because I thought I didn't want to see. I had a plan. I did have a game plan, right? It was just my game management. It was off.
You didn't execute.
I didn't execute. My game plan was I thought, well, if I stick to... I know this might sound crazy in a lot of worlds, but I thought if I stick to whiskey,
yeah,
right, I won't be needing to get up for a wee whilst we're sat on the stool. Like, so there was method in my madness. Yeah. And but what I didn't factor in was I actually got bought quite a few whiskies while we were here. And of course that just topped me over the edge a little bit. So you know, apologies to everyone hearing me slur my words at the end, but I did really enjoy it, and it was genuinely lovely to meet some of the listeners. And
brilliant,
it was a really good experience, and we definitely want to do it again next year, don't we?
100%,
absolutely.
Miles, what about you?
I agree. I mean, there were a few whiskies down the line, and I don't. To be fair, I'm not sure you swore that many times, so I'm proud of Lee. But yeah, we loved it down here. The crowd, you know, we had a little technical hitch halfway through. The crowd got a bit loudy. There were no bottles thrown at us, and we came out surviving. We've made it back this week. So I would say, you know, definitely up for it next year. And, we might change it up a little bit, but we loved it. And we really appreciate the listeners for coming to support us.
Yeah, 100%. And also, I think we should all acknowledge, because I'm not sure we did on the pod last week when it was live, was acknowledge my mate Paul Wyatt, who did all the tech. Yeah. It was actually live streamed on YouTube, and he came with like three cameras, two laptops, multiple leads, and it was like proper serious, and his own mixing desk, and that is proper serious.
I did at one point think, what the hell is that guy doing with us?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I thought he turned up for some other gig because I thought he's way too professional for us.
I know it was so. Paul, thanks very much for that, and you're already booked in for the next one.
And I also want to say from me and Miles, Pete, we wanted to thank you because, let's face it, you organised it right from the off. You know, Teacher Pete stepped up. You did a brilliant job. And
we just had to turn up.
We had to turn up and talk a load of rubbish, which we do any week anyway. It's easy for us, but well done, mate.
Exactly. Cheers. The teacher's planning was impeccable.
Yes.
Cheers, boys. Well, I haven't given you your homework back marked yet, but I think we'll leave that for another time. I want to keep it positive. But look, boys, we're here to talk about Tigers Away. And as I said in the intro, it was probably after 69 minutes, I don't know about you, I was watching the game in Miles actually on telly, and we had kind of come to an acceptance that perhaps it was not going to be our day, but we'd been true to our new philosophy. And I just thought, it's one of those days. Okay, we may not get even a point from this, but we're still going to be in the hunt. And of course... In it all changed in 10 minutes. So I think we'll have a chat about this, because I know we've all watched it and had a think about it. But I did reinvigorate but anyway, I put out for the listeners to give us some short, sharp summaries, as we have done in the past. And I was quite brutal this week. I only picked five, and most of them, three of them were poems, and then two of them were... just kind of quite clear summaries. And then I've got a little bonus one at the end for you as a little bit of a test. So anyway, here we go, boys. If I read them out, and then we'll see what we think, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. So here's the first one. I didn't want to get a family fighting. So we've got some regular short, sharp summary people. It's the Hambley brothers.
Oh yeah.
And they both like a bullet point. They like a kind of poem or an acrostic. So I thought I can't show favouritism to one or the other.
And also they're equally as good.
Absolutely. So the first one up is at Hammy79, which is Robin Hambley. And he gave us an acrostic, so you can work this out. Yeah. Here we go. Tough to get on the attack. Ibitoya, cracking performance. Got to take any win at this stage. Energy never lacked. Rensburg starting to be cult hero. Sweet brace from Max.
Yeah, it's a Tigers.
A Tigers. Nice. Like it. Nice. Clever. And then his brother, Hammy Hambley, didn't quite get to that creative level, but he did put Bears emojis in it as his bullet points. And I always, he knows he presses the right buttons with me.
He's got the right emojis.
He's teacher's pet.
Exactly. Teacher's pet. You know, it's you should say you never have favourites, but Hammy Hambley, do like his work. So here he goes.
You like the cut of his jib.
So here he goes. Almost given a heart attack. Looked like the bubble would burst. Defiant until the end. Playoffs are still within our grasp. Come on, you Bears.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not level 9, but it's solid. Solid level 7 GCSE, I'd say.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, moving on. Talking about level 9 poetry, I've got one for you now. It's from at John Sexton. He's been a regular. So he's come in straight in. He was almost one of the first. His is Leicester's D was mostly great, asphyxiating the Bears until 68. Hope, belief and determination abound. In came a man to amaze and astound. Forcing a score, then Brown in the bin, following up on the way to a win.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's good. Poet Laureate.
Love
standard.
It. That is Poet Laureate. Watch out, Philip Larkin. Yes. I know, he's not. Is he? No. He's not Poet Laureate, is he? Is he even a laureate?
No, he's more like Marlarkin.
Yeah. John Betjeman. Oh, no, he's dead as well. Anyway, so brilliant, John. Love that one. And then a couple more that weren't poetic, but I like them. So we had at Rihanna underscore 711, a Rihanna storyteller. Someone I think is a Jewel fan, Dragons and Bristol, yes. I believe. This is in the first half, Ogre useful, Rich Lane lonely, then subs made an impact, Magic Max grabbing two tries, Thacker all over the place last 10 minutes nail biting, AJ scoring despite being black and blue, Bears fans in ecstasy, still can't believe it.
Nice. I do think though we need to correct that. I think it's an Ospreys, not Dragons.
Don't
want to get those wrong, do we?
Don't want to upset people over the bridge, because we know we do have some over the bridge fans.
We want to
keep them sweet.
And then give them armbands if they want to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've also got at Kate 1978, which makes me think that might be the year she was born. Mm. So a little bit younger than us, but not too much, not actually. No offence. But that's Kate M. Stunned silence at Welford Road does not come often. How we did that was not luck, but a demonstration of 23 dedicated players trusting the process we sometimes have doubted. Have the Bristol fans finally seen what Pat has always believed? What a run in to go up the Bears.
That's beautiful, yeah. But I don't think Pat did always believe, and I think that is quintessentially the issue.
Yeah,
I mean, but he does believe now.
He does,
and it's the one time where I actually don't mind saying trust the process, because yeah. I think we actually did trust the process.
Yeah, it just about paid off.
But the process is the thing that has changed, I think. But that's really good, Kate. We appreciate that.
Yeah, nice.
But then, boys, finally, just a little bit of class to the occasions. Good friend of the pod, Ryan Kieschel, Ryan Kieschel, he posted very, very simply two words. And those two words were sola fide.
Oh.
Now, guys, do you know what that means?
No, you're going to tell us.
Well, I didn't know.
It's
Latin, isn't it? And I got to say, I'm a geography teacher, so I had to look it up. And it means justification by faith alone. So it was, which I thought was a nice summary, because we had to believe. It was almost, I don't know, boys, have you watched Ted Lasso?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so it's absolutely like it was believe. Yeah. We had to believe. And I just quite like the idea of just a bit of Latin to finish us off.
I think maybe that should be embroidery under the Bears logo.
I think it could be now.
Actually, just talking about Ted Lasso, I mean, I appreciate you haven't seen it, Miles, but his way of coaching, you imagine Pat Lamb taking board some of his...
Pat Lasso.
You know, Pat Lasso, that'd be amazing.
It would be.
He's very, very distinctive in his coaching style.
Yeah.
He doesn't know, he's an American guy. He basically coaches American football and comes to England to coach a premiership team.
Soccer.
And doesn't have a clue what he's doing.
Right.
But ultimately, gets results.
Yeah, wow. And I mean, if Pat starts growing a moustache, then... We might think that he's had a free 3-month subscription to Apple TV, like I did. That's why.
I think we're safe there.
I think we're safe.
Remember, it was Movember. Pat couldn't really grow a lot there, could he? So I think
there
ain't no lasso of her.
So anyway, thanks, Ryan. A bit of class, of literal class, because it was classics. Yeah. Sola fide, I like that. Justification by faith alone. And that's kind of what it felt like, didn't it, that last 10 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really good. That's the short, sharp summaries. I think there were some interesting points there. I mean, let's just dive in. Miles, you and me watched the game together. What's your... You know, just pick on something that you remember from it, or something that, you know, your general feeling about that result.
I mean, I was a bit like yourself. I was pretty much doom and gloom up until 69 minutes. You know, I turned up with a fine barrel, 5 litres.
I saw that. I was so jealous.
5 litres of Bristol Beer Factory ale in a mini tin takeaway, and I'm thinking like, we're going to move on from that Newcastle victory. Knowing Leicester would just, you know, study the way we play, and there's no way it was going to be as easy as that, you know. And I just felt like they'd done their homework. Their flat defence, scuppered for 69 minutes, anything the Bears' way was trying to do. The process was going nowhere, was it? Mm. And through no line, round any line, through the middle. And that's my sort of ultimate memory until 69 minutes. It was scrappy. It was wet. The penalty count from Bristol was high.
In the first half.
It was just, nothing was working the Bears' way. And it was hard to see where that victory was coming from.
I mean, you saw it as well, Lee. I mean, what was your feeling having seen it after the event? I think you watched it today as well, didn't you? Or catch up.
I'll make you boys laugh now, because actually I had a lovely day yesterday with my partner, Melissa. So I had the score notifications coming up.
It's always risky, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stressful, I find.
It was. And I have to admit, at 19-0, the phone hit a wall.
Yeah.
And it was just frustration, because I knew it was going to be tough at Welford Road.
Yeah.
But 19-0, and I thought, oh my God, it's that hope that kills you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I had that hope. Mm. Going into that game, I had that hope. And then I thought, phone hit the wall straight away. I was like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that. Mm. I've got all my work contacts on there and everything. So lucky enough, it wasn't damaged. Mm. And then it was a case of, I'm very much like, I have to block it all off. Like for me at 19-0, no one comes back, especially at Welford Road like that.
No.
So I've blocked it off, and I thought what I'll do is I'll just check the score at the end. And that is when I was like, oh my goodness, 21-19.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, you boys now fill me in, but I mean, you said earlier, Miles, about kind of, you know, they're always salty anyway, aren't they? Yeah. Tigers, always. Their fans are always salty.
And particularly
salty.
Us because of the Foa
gate.
Don't lie, Pert. Don't lie.
But obviously, since then, we found out, and it's all gamesmanship, I know, and it happens, but we found out, obviously, they really massively overwatered the pitch, didn't they, to try and slow us down. So that gamesmanship began way before any players took to the field. And that is why winning up there is so more enjoyable. It's one of those places where it's not on a level with Bath or a Gloucester or anything like that, don't get me wrong. But outside of that, it's one of those places I just love. I just love to beat them. I'd love to beat Tigers.
Yeah. And it was as good a moment as that time that Luke Moran stepped on May.
Yeah.
Or
was it Johnny May?
Or Johnny. Backwards.
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And I think I, because Miles and me were watching it, I think the first quarter I wrote down scrappy and ill-disciplined. I mean, we gave away a lot of penalties. They'd done their homework on our line out because this was mentioned early that we got pinged for engaging early in the line out. And there was a suggestion on comms that Tigers had been on the ref's ear about this and that's something that we do quite a lot. And we got pinged three times. And then eventually there was a yellow card for multiple infringements. So that was poor old Ibitoy got carded and he'd barely been in the game. It was like, it's one of those typical ones. He took one for the team. And of course, rightly said that we tried to play the Bears way. Now that was the thing that it was conflicted because I was so glad that we didn't go back into our shells and try and play to them. I think we are at that point, but it seems to me like in the coaching team and in the fans is that let's just play this positive way. And if we win, we win. And if we don't, and fair play to Tigers, they did exactly what they needed to do.
And also we should say that I've got some in my notes here. I've got actually, it's the defense that kept us in the game.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
We could have absolutely capitulated and we could have been out of that game by half time, couldn't we? I think we all agree.
And we were looking down the barrel. We were a yellow down. We were under the cosh. We'd had one visit to their 22 and mucked it up basically when we had a chance. Then they were back in ours. And in some ways, I mean, that was brilliant. And that's why I felt quite relaxed watching it. I kind of thought, no, I can see what the boys are doing. They're really trying. They're playing on the edge. If you want to win it, if you want to win big, you've got to play on the edge, but you've got to have faith. You've got to have sola fide. Yes. And actually you're right. Going in at halftime only 7-0 down was actually a moral victory.
Yeah.
We were, in some ways, you could argue that the brown yellow, it stopped their momentum a little bit because we didn't score actually so Mike Brown, for those that haven't seen the game, Mike Brown got carded immediately for a cynical kind of hand in the ruck, although he was annoyed because he thought that Ellis Genge had knocked it on because we'd had a ruck that went blind and Stephen Luatua absolutely fired a pass at Genji. And I was like, what's Genji doing on the wing? Yeah. Anyway, Genji
and
from the camera angle from the telly, it went all forward.
Yeah.
And I was expecting it to be blown, but the ref is like, play on. And then it's from that ruck, Brown went in. And Brown, to be fair to him, he kind of argued it, but he wasn't arguing what he did. He kind of argued, he said, knock on. But my theory is that Luatua, Stevie, pinged it so hard, Ellis didn't even get time to close his hands.
No.
And I think that was what it had. I think it just went through his hands and hit him in his nuts. Basically, Miles, hit him in his nuts. So, you know, and that, although we didn't benefit from that, it kind of stopped the momentum for them and gave us a little bit of a respite. So, I mean, it was an easy watch the first half, I got to say.
Of course not.
Never say die attitude, I put down in my notes as well, because again, that's something that we could be criticised for, and you know, at the beginning of the season, but I just thought that never say die attitude for that as well. And I just think it's little things, but you've just hit the nail on the head. It was kind of that honesty, that clarity that we're playing to a game plan that you could see.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, all that cloudiness that we've gone through the last few months, it's kind of clearing now, isn't it? If we can see a game plan, and we know we're not going to win every game, we're realistic, but if you can see a game plan, and if we do lose a game, but we follow the game plan, it's that clarity that we've got all round.
And let's be honest, we were, our pack was up against Dan Cole,
yeah,
England Lions, yeah, Montoya, Argentina,
Beast.
Cronin, who just is a big unit anyway, Chesham, yeah, Martin, like the best, you know, England that I love those players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we've got Liebenberg, Visa, and Rafael. Like, that's an international pack.
All the way through.
Absolutely.
And our boys, and again, I mean, Harding had an absolute stormer of a game.
Yeah.
And I remember after the game, he was interviewed and said, like, as a captain, how did you keep it going? And he kind of trotted out that what I'd expect. He said, oh, I have to give them belief. Mm. But I thought, no, mate, what you need to say is I gave them belief by doing my job 100% and leading by, not just leading, but leading with my head and my body.
Yeah.
And he is
Well, I believe he got
fantastic.
Man of the match, didn't he?
He did.
To be fair, so good on him.
And we've got to say, this is a young lad who stepped up this season. I mean, it just makes me so optimistic for the future.
I mean, you're right, stepping up and you know, telling the guys at halftime, you know, the chips were down, weren't they? When you're facing an international pack of that quality, you know, of course it's flipping tough, isn't it? And you know, and in the second half, when we sort of came back, etc., the fact that we changed, I think, our entire front row, didn't they? And literally defied the odds and out-muscled that international pack to then go out and get the win. I mean, that's just phenomenal from the Bristol guys. So the talk, the halftime tour throughout from Fitz was just phenomenal.
I mean, having said that we did well to be only 7-0 down at half time, we then obviously then went 12-0 down after 60.
Just after
47 or something minutes.
But it was, we weren't letting them run away with it.
Yeah.
And we were in the game and it was tough.
It was frustrating, wasn't
it? We dropped a few. There was one, I remember, there was one where we counter-attacked like we did at Newcastle. And actually, Bernard went to Jimmy and Jimmy had potentially an overlap and he dropped it. But it was, when I look back at it, it was like, it wasn't a great pass from Bernard. And it was just, I was thinking, oh, it's that, we've gone back to that again. It's those days where we're just not executing. But we were always knocking on the door and we were within... They hadn't run away with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Miles, as you said, I mean, you know, the bench made a massive difference. So Lee, I mean, why, it's weird, isn't it? We had Sinks. Mm-hmm. We had Ogre. We had great front row. We had Genji.
Who have been brilliant.
And they played well. Yeah. But why is it that suddenly you bring your, and this is no disrespect at all, but your Lahiths and your Wilmores, And then obviously Thacker, who's been out for
God knows how long.
I mean, you're bringing on a new front row, and of course they're going to be fresh. But that impact, I mean, that's quite. Was that surprising? I don't know.
Well, I guess it just goes to show that the squad that we've got, it, even though it's not quite as strong as what we'd all hope, not this season anyway. But I think it just goes to show that camaraderie and that kind of spirit, that team spirit collectively is there. And one thing you could never doubt is the fight for each other.
Mm.
And as Miles just said, the front row came on and changed the game. Yeah. There's no doubt we would have lost that game without those changes.
And it was
full credit to Pat.
And it wasn't just the open play and it wasn't the drive on the line. It was the set piece as well.
Yeah.
You know, they Max Lahiff has probably there's been one criticism that maybe he's big unit, he's strong, but is he the best scrummager? But
well, I mean, he's such a powerful runner, isn't he? I mean, like Fitz said, he's just he defies human logic, doesn't he? The size of him and his power to get over the line twice, you know, and the fact that there were three forwards tries in the last 11 minutes was phenomenal. So they did make a huge impact. Ooh, was firing at their line, you know, picking and going. Thacker, I mean, it's like he'd never been away. A left-handed pass, I don't know if he's left or right-handed, sort of 20 metres out to the wing, when Nirolango fired up the wing. I mean, phenomenal. And his running lines, I just couldn't believe his first match in, what, 6, 7, 8 games, maybe more, and he looked like he's never been away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, phenomenal.
And one thing you should say that, like, Thacker, he loves playing against Tigers, doesn't he? Because let's face it, that's the team that released him, right, for being too small.
Mm.
Now, Harry Thacker has been immense for us now. Since year dot when he came in, he's been immense. And we were gutted that he was out injured. But O'Gray has been a great stand-in,
yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah, yes.
But I think that was the perfect game for Harry Thacker to come back into against Tigers at Welford Road. And he just showed the class.
I think, yeah, really good point.
Man of the match. He was on for, 20 minutes?
Really good point. I'll just go back to that what you Miles was referring to, was that was when we were still behind and we broke from the restart. And I think Heenan offloaded it to Thacker, who then ran half the length of the pitch. But the game awareness or the pitch awareness that he weaved in and out, and then he threw, he got into the edge of their 22, threw that left-handed pass over to Siva. Now, that's something that, like, seasoned centres learned, have spent years perfecting. So this guy is like a centre.
Yeah.
And then that was from that subsequent phases. I think that was when Bradbury went over eventually and scored the winning try. So it all came from that. And it is phenomenal. And as you rightly say, not only Leicester Tigers rejecting him, but not even getting a sniff for England.
I know, it's ridiculous. Oh, it's
ludicrous. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe that will change.
And on that note, we should say, I know we've bigged up Magnus Bradbury loads this season, but, you know, we're all gutted that he's going to be leaving. But what commitment? Commitment? The guy's leaving. He's going back home next season. But that commitment of just that determination to get the ball down, to get that, you know, and the positioning as well. So it was right in front of the post, so it made life easier for the kick to win the game. And you just think, like, that's a guy who's battling there, and he knows he's off next season, but it's just still that commitment. He's wearing a Bears shirt, 100% commitment. I loved it. And Max Lahiff looked like an absolute... He looked demonic,
didn't he?
When he scored
he got
those
tries, could he? I know. Couldn't believe it. I loved it. Absolutely
it was brilliant,
it.
Wasn't it? I mean, just the passion on his face.
Yeah. I mean, you saw, boys, I sent you that. I did the post article for tomorrow, which is a bit of a struggle because we haven't done one for like weeks. But that was my point. I picked on that point, that look on his face on that second try. And I said it wasn't just the excitement of a forward getting two tries in a game, but I think it was he realised... And we realised watching that was then game on.
Yeah.
And it was the moment that he knew that he had done something bigger than just him.
Yeah.
And that we were, and of course it proved to be. A couple of things I wanted to pick up on. I hope we don't regret not working harder to keep Bradbury. And I do suspect that the Mata deal has got something to do with it. And I'm almost tempted to think, is there any way... Could we not go back and just say to Edinburgh, look, or go to Bradbury, say, what are they offering you? We'll give you double that. Yeah. And go, and then say to again, then don't forget about Edinburgh, ring up Gregor Townsend and say, you cannot discount him just because he's down here. Because I just think, I'm a bit worried that we're going to, because he's peaking. And can you think what damage he could do next season? Staying fit, what he knows his way around the Premiership. Yeah. Mata, no offence to him, great player, but he's going to have to learn, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just have this worry.
I totally agree. Bradbury settled in Bristol. I know. It's massively important. Yeah.
And and you can tell, because I saw him that week in the old Vic, Bristol old Vic bar. He's clearly... like settled got here. Mates that he fits in with all the other lads. And I know it's one of these things we've talked about. A pass is it's not just about on the pitch, it's off the pitch. And, you know, you're bringing people in from different cultures and stuff. It takes time for them to gel. But someone like Bradbury straight in,
I'm going to put my neck on the line. I'm going to say, and this is going to be controversial, but then, hey-ho, I'd rather have Bradbury than Mata next season.
Well, I kind of understand that's not disrespectful to Mata, but it's evidence-based, isn't it? It's like we know what we can see. Yeah. It's a bit like the Brexit vote, you know? It's like we knew what we had, but then you're risking something you don't know, and it may or may not turn out. And if it does, fantastic. And I'm sure it will in the long term. But I'm with you a little bit.
What, Bradbury or Brexit?
Well,
of course it is.
We'll see. I mean, if Bradbury gets picked for Scotland and becomes a regular, then fair play to
the lad. We'll take our hats off. Yeah, you're right.
But anyway, that was just something. And then the other thing I wanted to pick up on was I don't know what it was. Oh, no, it was Adge coming back on again as well. Because
of the HIA.
And that was the only slight worry that JVR went off, Adge had to come off after he got headbutted by Mike Brown.
Yeah.
And again, there was some chat about that was a bit of a soft yellow. Oh, it's like, how can that be a soft yellow? He's gone head on head.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what happened there Solomato Kata did last week.
And, he got red.
And this is the risk of when you run a defensive line, when you're playing, it's a risky game. And it's like 2 weeks in a row that Leicester have had a yellow on the back of a rush defence.
Are you insinuating they didn't take their learnings?
Well, I am insinuating exactly that.
Well, they haven't, because now, potentially, they've lost two players for the rest of the Premier League
season. Yeah, because Mike Brown's a red. That's a red.
And the other guy was a red, so they're probably going to miss the last two games.
And I'd say to Tigers fans, stick some vinegar on it, because he got plenty of salt.
Oh, I know what I was going to mention. Kieran Marmion. Because it was me and Miles were watching, and my missus, Jules, was watching, and she's actually quite, she doesn't watch rugby all the time, but she's quite good at giving a slightly alternative perspective. And there was I think it was the second Heath try, we'd pumped the line, Marmion was going to go in there, and he pulled back, and he told the forwards to get in there. And that was just, to me, that is why we signed him.
Class.
That is that's experience. So, he knew they were under the pump.
Yeah.
He could just sense their forwards were tiring.
Yeah.
And he didn't know, we're not going to spin it. I want you boys. And that was when I'm pretty sure Luatua latched onto Max Lahey for the second try powered him over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got to say, she pointed that out to us. I hadn't spotted that. Yeah, and I've got to hats off.
Well,
great analysis to Jules there. Yeah. Great punditry from the living room.
Yeah.
So maybe we should get her on as a guest.
We should get Jules and the Duchess on one week because they know a lot more about rugby than the three of us.
The difference between the Duchess and Jules is that the Duchess listens to the podcast, and I don't think Jules has ever listened to it once. No, but anyway, there you go.
And the Duchess is probably more like me in terms of her drinking as well.
Yeah, so we have to be careful.
She'd be the female equivalent
of
me.
Would,
Well, look, boys, I think that's... I think we've covered quite a lot of stuff there. I think we ate a bit of humble pie because I
admitted to being very pessimistic up till 69 minutes to Pete and Jules.
And I did think those poor people that had gone up there to watch, it's disappointing.
It's cold.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stick up for you two in this respect because I feel like we're only just transitioning out of that period of that cloudiness.
Yeah.
Right? So I think there's still an element of doubt there, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's reasonable doubt.
We're just human, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, all we want is our team to win, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, next week we move on.
So we don't have a game
for 2 weeks,
which is on account of being out of Europe. And although the double dumping out of Europe in that miserable January night in Connacht was hard, in hindsight, if we were still in the Challenge Cup, for example, because if we'd gone down to the Challenge, there's a good chance we might be in it.
Yeah.
Gloucester are in it.
Yeah.
You know, so we would have had a game this weekend. Although I should note there is a game this weekend. It's the Bristol Bears against combination side on Friday night.
That's right. Good chat.
But it will be younger lads. Mm. It will be. Mm. So we've got 2 weeks. And then of course we in inverted commas welcome Saracens. To the gate, last home game of the season. It's being billed as the summer social. That classic thing with the players with sunglasses on, bucket hats, making it sound like it's going to be like Glastonbury when it will probably just be, one person with a guitar.
Videos of them working out in the gym in their speedos again, when they were straw hats, all that.
Unfortunately, fellas, I'm going to miss it.
You're going to miss it? Where are you?
I've got a birthday coming up, and I'm going to be in the Red Rose of Yorkshire.
Wow.
I'm going to be in York for the weekend.
Are you going to have your notifications on?
Oh, I'll have, well...
Are you going to buy a new phone
I might
protector?
Get a screen protector, I might rely on you two for... just keeping me updated in terms of how the game's going and everything. Keep our WhatsApp group open.
Yeah.
You might not see it, I'm going to ask you the question, how are we going to approach that game then? We've got two games to go. We've got playoffs in our own hands. How are we going to approach that game?
So we take the game to Sarries. We do exactly what we've been doing. Now we can't go off course now. We've been very unlucky, actually, haven't we? A couple of the away games against Sarries have been very close. But I don't think we want to try and take them on at their game we want to take them
which
on.
Is what we've done the last two home games.
That's
the last
where
two
we've
seasons.
Made massive errors, in my opinion. So I think we play the Bears way. We keep going on the course that we're on. And I just feel really optimistic. I really do.
I mean, there's talk of big numbers in the crowd. They're selling a lot of tickets.
Talk of opening the Atio.
Which would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Last home game of the season, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Hope the weather's sort of warmed up a little bit by then. But I think you're absolutely right. We, you know, did you see the dire game between Bath and Saris on Friday night?
Yeah.
It was just an advert of how not to play
rugby.
Absolutely. Anti-rugby. How not to play exciting modern rugby.
Yes.
And we cannot, if we play our way and they play that kicking sort of game, we can win this. You know, there was an interview with Fitz post-match, wasn't there? He said, the playoffs in your hand. He said, in my mind, you know, you've got two more games. He said, no. We are planning to win four more games,
yes.
Which means winning the Premiership.
Which I loved.
Love it. And that's exactly what we've got to do. We've got to take it to Saracens, play it the Bristol way on a home ground, massive crowd, and just smash them.
Yeah.
And that's all we can hope.
And we should say, right, on that note, because that's a brilliant point, an anti-rugby note, we're talking about how Premiership rugby's struggling massively. If we play that type of absolute dog shite, then Premiership rugby's finished.
Mm.
We have got to, I think we all acknowledge there needs to be a massive upturn in performance levels in terms of like the style of rugby, because we need to get bums on seats, and that is not going
to
get
bums
on seats.
We need to encourage, we do, and this is a time for another pod, but we do need, they've got to look at, the authorities have got to look at how you can encourage more running rugby.
Yeah.
Mm. And one of the easiest ways is just take the offside line back to daylight behind the ruck, so that you've got the time to run those miss moves, run those round the back moves, so that they're always happening, and then you get a fantastic. But that's another pod. Yeah, I think boys. I mean, it would be almost incomprehensible that we play a kicking game against Saracens.
Yeah, I agree.
And unless it rains, we're clearly not going to be watering the pitch. In fact, we're going to be drying the pitch. I think I've already
covering the pitch. Aren't we?
They've already.
Beautiful pitch to
play
on.
I mean, there's no going back and we'll see what will happen. I mean, if we execute, we could blow them away. I genuinely think we could blow them away, but I do think that we've got 2 weeks for our big, and of course, like we've always said, we are going to have to match them up front.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking the likes of Batley, the likes of James Dunn, they're going to focus the next 2 weeks. They're going to be thinking about this game. They're going to be thinking about Maro Itoje. They're going to be thinking about Nick Izek. They're going to be thinking, you know what? These boys, they might have the caps. They might have the houses.
Whoops.
They might have. But
the image rights.
I'm going to prove that I'm a better player than them. Yeah. And I think when you look man for man across that pitch, we've got every chance. Even at Owen Farrell, great player. I've always liked Farrell, but I think Adge is going to cause him a lot of problems. Farrell is not going to like playing against Adge because they can't attack the 10 channel. They know that Adge has got a good defence. They know he's can make it. So
I want to see Pat Lam get everyone dartboards.
Yeah.
Right. This week, the boys get their dartboards, stick them up on a wall somewhere, put the posters of all those Saris players on, and just be throwing darts.
Let's just massive in squad darts tournament.
Yeah,
like it's interesting. There's a little aside. If you had to ascribe Sarri's players to different parts of the darts board, who are you going to put in treble 20?
Right. No, I'm going to go bullseye. I was going to go bullseye. Yeah. Owen Farrell bullseye.
Owen Farrell bullseye.
Yeah.
I mean, treble 20, I'd go Maro Itoje.
It's got to be.
I mean,
gotta be.
I'd also go Jamie George. I'm thinking double 16. My favourite double.
Mm.
What about you, Miles? Give us a couple. You know how darts works.
Tops.
I know you're getting that. So, like, who's the distaste for?
Yeah.
But I think you've got them all down to a T now. But I'd like to see us really take out Theo Dan, show him that he's not the best flipping hooker in this country. You know,
go for a niche. Right, let's position on the dartboard for Theo Dan.
What did you go for? Triple 16?
Double 16.
High score, triple 19. Theo Dan.
Yeah, when you go downstairs. Theo Dan, triple 19. Because very often you go downstairs. If you've bunched the if you can't get an arrow in on the bed, exactly, on the triple 20, you go downstairs.
Exactly. Tell Borthers, I'm going to go for the triple top because we've done a toe, Jay. Next Borthers? One.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Next one. Theo Dan.
For England.
For England. Out the England squad.
So let's just summarise, because this is a completely random angle. So let's just summarise. We've got Owen Farrell would be bullseye.
Absolutely.
So Adge is on bullseye all week. So's Fitz.
Yeah.
And all of our back row are on bullseye.
Yeah.
Okay. We've gone Theo Dan, gone downstairs, triple 19.
Yeah.
And that's Thacker and Ogre.
Yeah.
They're pummeling triple 19.
Yeah, absolutely.
All week. And then we've got, what did we say? We said Itoje triple 20.
Yeah.
Because it's the blue ribboned bed. He's a blue ribbon player.
He's the meme,
you're going to have James Dunn and Joe Batley are going to be competing against each other.
Yeah.
Nine dart finishes. Yeah. 20, triple 20, triple 20, triple 20.
Yeah.
And the rest.
Loot lit rhythm.
And then we did say niche. What else did we say? Double 16 was Jamie George.
Jamie George.
Because, of course, Jamie George will probably start Theo Dan. So what we want to do is we want to see a double 16 and then just goes against the grain of darts. Because
Absolutely. And if we want Vonopolo in there, it's got to be double one, isn't it?
Well, if Billy Vonopolo plays, I mean, I'd have him all over the darts board. And so that when you do that thing, when you just close your eyes and throw the dart in, you hit him wherever it is, you hit him. Anyway, so that's our analysis of Sarries. The only thing I would say is if we have got everybody fit, who would be in position in contention for a starting position, can you see any changes from the last couple of games this weekend?
Yeah.
So what do you reckon, Miles? Fire, you go first. No,
obviously we heard that Maxi Malins withdrew a couple of hours before the game. Let's hope that's a little niggle that the medical team, well, it might just be an illness, can sort out, and he's back in 2 weeks' time. He'd be instrumental to that home game against Sarries. He's going to be desperate to play.
Maxi Malins against Sarries would be Ari Fakka against Tigers.
Absolutely. So, you know, if he's fit, Malin's back in for absolute sure.
And if he isn't fit, get him in one of those like ice cryogenic like things. Fly him to America.
Yeah.
Get him fit.
So, you know, as we know, we've had 100% win record in the last four or five games with the McGinty Williams Van Rensburg partnership.
Yeah.
100% win. Let's hope that the JVR is not under HIA protocols and is mullet's protected his bonds.
I was going to say, Miles, it's exactly what I was going to say, that the mullet
back in
has protected him.
Potentially. He's South African. That's, he's got to be hard as nails, isn't he?
So I think I saw, as Mike Brown came in, I think I saw Jan Bernard turn his head slightly.
Yeah.
So the head on was on the side of the mullet, on the big thick bit.
Yeah.
So I'm confident.
So that's a lot of cushioning.
That's a sort of, so, you know, you can sort of pick up any change in the forwards you might think, Lee.
Yeah, no, I think, obviously, we go Ibatoi. If Heward's back, I think I would play Heward instead of Seaver.
And bring Seaver's impact.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because what a player to come on for impact. I mean, Pat,
because they're going to kick.
What he wants.
They're going to kick.
And we want a return, don't we?
We need a return. And I think Heward is I mean, Ibatoi, I think his kick catching has got so much better.
Yeah.
And I think he's got
kicking,
play.
But for me, though, Heward defensively has been fantastic all season. So if he's fit, no-brainer, he's on the wing.
I think, did we talk Thacker? I'm thinking we start with Ogre.
Yeah.
And we bring Thacks on as impact again. Yeah. Just so we don't, just keep that bubbling away.
And then the rest of the team,
I think it picks itself. Dunn and Batley, what a great engine room.
Absolutely.
We start with Genji, Sinks, and Ogre, as we said.
And now we know we've got Max Lee.
We've got the Destroyer. We've got the Destroyer on the bench.
We've still got Jan.
I mean, we've got Jan, we've got Rich Lane, we've got...
It's just... We've got Piers O'Connor.
We've got Piers O'Connor.
We've spoken about Piers O'Connor.
We haven't even seen Dan Thomas for a while.
No, he threw a bit of a bad pass when he came
But bear with me, he hasn't played for ages.
No.
And also, like, if he's someone you could bring on, we're already miles ahead.
Mm.
If he's the type of player who just love that
he's got class. Yeah, so that's sorted. Okay.
And Vakatawa, we didn't mention Vakatawa.
Of course.
How can we not mention it? I mean,
well, he's on the bench still, isn't he?
He's a bencher, but what? That's quality.
And it's just psychological
him. You remember that Revivu?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so I think it's a bit too much of a high-pressure game now to sort of risk him sort of...
But Vakatawa, for me, another year's contract.
Mm, I think
playing for You know,
it depends. Yeah. Vacatar, it depends if anyone in France comes in for him and offers him some wedge, because I'm pretty sure he's on not a lot. And it was a bit of like, we'll give you a chance. If you do get a good contract, you're welcome to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I reckon he might have the taste for the Bears way.
Yeah. And also maybe a bit of respect that Pat Lamb's given him a chance.
And give us another season. Absolutely. No, and given and say, you know, Pat, and I won't do French for Fijian accent. Just, I'm happy to bench. I'm happy to bench. I am happy to be on the bench for the Bears because you showed me respect. Anyway, moving on.
Vacatawa, not Eric Cantona.
Right, boys, we're running out. I don't want to get this under an hour. So yeah,
let's
move
do it. I mean, you know, we've got, let's have a look. I mean, we're only 49 points, Sarri's 51. So, you know, let's smash him at home in a couple of weeks' time, leapfrog them.
And I tell you what, if we end up playing Northampton Saints in the semi-final, they will not fancy that at all,
no,
will they?
Right.
Because
absolutely
let's forget
not
the narrative about them being great. They've lost to us twice, home and away.
Yeah.
And that wasn't mentioned a lot.
And they know that.
And they know
well
it. Oh, it's tasty. It's tasty. We want Saints in the semi-final. That's going to be like our Harlequins.
It will be.
Istanbul, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'd
have to finish fourth, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but I reckon we will. That's what I'm thinking.
We're going to finish on
fourth. Yeah, I'm thinking fourth. I'm happy with fourth. We don't want Bath away on a Friday night.
Oh, no.
No, we want Saints, I reckon.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, let's move on. We've got a couple of things to go through. Other business.
Yes.
So, a couple of contracts. So, Jan Thomas re-signed. I mean, based on what we thought at the beginning of the season, that's almost like Lazarus coming back to the club.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's fucking coming back from the dead, isn't it?
Not much more we can
say.
Love it. But the only thing I learned from reading it up was that obviously he went to Ashton Park. He lives locally, but he did his amateur time at Nailsea and Backwell.
Nice. Oh, did he?
Rugby club, yeah.
Nice.
That's where he did his hard yards.
And also, what Jan gives you is not just on the field. He gives you so much off the field.
He's a great guy.
He's just a brilliant guy.
And his experience. You know, we've got a young Chawatana coming in next year, haven't we? You know,
Lovejoy.
You're right. We need an experienced Bristow.
It's young for us.
It is young for us. And that, you know, the turnaround to give him another contract.
Brilliant.
Love it.
Yeah. Move on. So then there was also this announcement of three new signings, which I got quite excited and then realised I didn't know any of them. And as they said, a talented trio. So we've got Steele Parker, which if you're going to pick a name for a rugby player.
Steele Parker, is it?
Is it Barker?
Steele
bit that I liked.
But, I know, it is a class name.
I mean, that is a class name, Steele.
Straight out of the NFL.
I mean, it is so good.
His parents were waiting for this moment, weren't they, to get like a premiership contract.
And obviously TC, our old mate, would be happy.
He'd love a bit of Cornish.
He's from Cornwall.
He loves a bit of Cornish. So he's from Pirates. So he's a seasoned championship player.
Yeah.
He's a second rower. Then we got Tom Doughty, who's playing at Donny Knights. And he's a hooker.
Yeah.
And then Sam Edwards, who's a scrum half at Tigers. Now, the first one, Steele Parker, I can see that as
You're thinking of Gay Parker, aren't you?
Yeah, I can see that as a kind of, he's bolstering the squad. Maybe a kind of, if Ed Holmes does leave, it hasn't been announced, but if he does, maybe he's a kind of replacement. You've got your Joe Owens, you've got your Steele Barkers. But I'm a bit, I don't know about the other two. I mean, Doughty is not a young hooker. He's an experienced hooker. So what does this tell us?
Well, he spent 4 years at Bath, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite, you know, that's quite telling. And he played 24 games for them. So, you know, we're talking about a guy who
But do we need him? That's what I'm trying to say is, what does this tell us about the current crop that we have?
Well, I mean, that's yet to be determined. But I mean, it does suggest that maybe someone is on the way out.
But it's hard to know who, because Capon had re-signed earlier this season.
Yeah.
Fred Davis has come on and done nothing wrong and looks the class. You'd like to think that he would have be still in the mix. So, do we need five hookers? Do they worry that it's such an attritional position? I don't know. It's just
You'd think that he's not on a massive wedge, is he?
No.
So whether, I mean, obviously these, you know, Pat Lamb sits down religiously and works out the budget.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Maybe someone isn't going. Maybe
just
it
a fifth hooker. And then same question with scrum half, really, is that we've got Rands, we've got Edwards, we've got Wolstenholme.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And he's a class.
Yeah.
And Oscar Lennon. So we're looking at a fifth. And there's another guy in the academy, scrum half, which I can't remember at the moment. So, Maybe we're just banking. It's like land banking, like landlords when they land bank.
You know, we know the cap's going up, isn't it, by 1.4 million, and maybe he's just a couple of pounds behind his sofa.
And one thing I would say is, obviously, we're getting back to what Pat Lam initially had said, is he wants players that are coachable. Mm. And obviously, they've done their homework on these three, and they're coachable, and they're, I mean, obviously, Doughty's 27, so he's not young in rugby terms, but, you know, these guys are, you know, obviously... guys that can learn and take aboard the Bears ethos. So
maybe it shows that Pat's going to make a bigger effort to win the Premiership Cup, maybe bolstering the second string. So we can actually, because Steve Lansdowne said, mate, I didn't just pay you all this money to play running rugby. Yeah. I want to see some trophies. Yeah. And actually the first trophy is have a proper assault on the Premiership Cup with a kind of hybrid and then, team, so maybe it's that. I just thought that. Okay, well, there we'll find out. Second thing on my other business was supporters Q&A at the HPC. I tried to buy a ticket, didn't failed miserably. I think they had 50 tickets. It sounded like it was a positive event. I've got to say, it sounded like they did deal with the South Stand issue and apologised. They said in principle, it was right, but the communication was poor.
Which they should have done. What we said last week.
And the one I read some guy on the Bristol Rugby Net said that it was pretty, you know, Pat was good and they came away feeling positive. My only issue is, we had an issue, Mars, you managed this. What's the big issue with it, do you think? Only 50 tickets. What could they have done to live stream?
We've done it.
We live streamed last week.
We had a similar number of people.
Yeah.
A bigger venue. Yeah. You know,
we had 50
free
people.
Tickets.
We had 50 unique elite tickets.
Absolutely.
And we live streamed it and we got a lot more people watching. Did you know, boys? We had a couple hundred people watched it on YouTube.
My comment is
if Bears Beyond the Gate can manage to live stream something from the Bristol Beer Factory, even when Man United Coventry in the FA Cup has gone to like penalties and has got in the way of the sound check, maybe we could put ourselves forward as special advisors for the next one. Or maybe we could host the next one.
I like that.
And we can certainly give Paul Wyatt's number.
His credentials,
Tom Tainton, because he is award winning. So
you can look him up.
I think they missed a trick there, didn't they? Yeah. Live streaming. Yeah. It's not that difficult.
Fairly easy parking around the beer factory, isn't it, compared to the HPC?
Oh, and also, we got free microphones.
We did.
We could sell them off.
Yeah, maybe not the ones that cut out.
Yeah, no, not those. Okay. All right. And then finally, our final little brief feature is Bears in the News, because it's funny how when a team starts to do well, suddenly the national media come knocking. And there were three articles relating to Bristol Bears players on top of an article with Pat last week as well about, you know, this blah blah blah. So very quickly, we had one from the Telegraph, one from the Guardian, and one from the Mail. And now your little game is guess which of us took which newspaper. So I think everyone's going to assume Miles took the Telegraph. Yeah,
I think so.
Well, doesn't Miles own the Telegraph?
Well, there you go.
I mean, the thing is,
it's in his portfolio.
Coming from Wibbywood, though, there was no Daily Mirror option
there's nothing in the current barn either, was there?
So, Miles, give us a brief précis of the Telegraph article. Who was it about and what did they say?
Well, this was Max Malins, who, you know, unfortunately we didn't get to see this weekend. But it was great. You know, we are playing this fantastic brand of rugby. And it was a great article.
Yeah.
You know, really basically saying, you know, we all know he came to us on that loan spell during the COVID era. And he was excited about returning. If fans haven't read it, I'll summarise very quickly. He was basically desperate to return to the position of number 15. Pat had offered him that over his Sarri sort of playing position. And, you know, and he was just desperate to return to that running style of rugby that we showed fans in that 2021 season. And it's just unfortunate, isn't it? He's had a knee injury this year, kept him out for eight games. Frustration about not getting in the Indon jersey. But, you know, one thing he said was like, what he loves about Bristol is the fullback position gives him freedom to attack from anywhere on the pitch. And I think that was where he felt quite restricted as in the winger, isn't he, for Sarries and England. Yeah. He loves freedom style player of rugby, you know, and I'm glad he's come back in such form after his knee injury.
Yeah.
You know, hats off to him. He's shown a remarkable turn of form in our style of rugby. And yeah, brilliant.
I should also mention the article was written by friend of the pod, Charlie Morgan.
It was.
Who is a great guy. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that.
He's been knocking him out in the last couple of weeks.
Proper journalism.
It was a brilliant article. I read it as well, Miles. The only downside is I think we're all worried that obviously Steve Borthwick has got, like Freddie Stewart, in front of Maxie at the moment, and obviously Furbank now seems to be indeed in front of Stewart. So it's a fight. But I mean, we all think that Max Meaning
we love him.
Easily fit like a
and
glove.
he's got the Clifton profile,
silky,
hasn't he?
Isn't he?
Well, as that, mind you, I would say silky
running rugby.
But when they did all that social media banter when he came back, there was that really funny one with Callum and Sheedy and Randall where they were saying, not bad for someone with a sloppy rig. Yeah. So he's obviously likes a Haribo Star Mix, doesn't he? Right, so that's Telegraph done, Miles. Well done. You can tell your editor, he did a good job there.
Yeah. Well done, Miles.
So next one, Lee, you picked up the Guardian. We don't have the mirror for you, but we got the Guardian.
I call it the posh mirror.
Yeah, the posh mirror,
And they put big words in this one.
They do.
So it's quite nice. I mean, I did have to Google a lot of them to, you know, it took me about 4 hours to work through the article.
A commitment.
And it was about our lovely Harry Randall. And obviously, because we've spoken on the pod, congratulating him about having twins, him and his Mrs. Kelsey. Don't worry.
I read it as well.
What are the twins' names then?
They're girls. Two girls.
Kyra and Noah or something like that.
Well, Kyra and Miles.
Noah?
Yeah, it's a girl. NOA.
Well done.
I didn't read that far.
It was my article, and you both backed me
just
up.
Just because we weren't sure whether you'd read it or not.
And obviously, I mean, it is something that rings true to home for both of us, doesn't it? Because we've both got we haven't got twins, but we've both had all had two kids each.
Two girls club.
I nearly said three then. Yeah. Sorry, Miles. but it was lovely actually that Harry and Kelsey have got a little system where Kelsey lets Harry have a good night's sleep before a game. Yeah. And what I loved about it most actually is that kind of personal insight into, because we see our boys on a pitch and we don't really appreciate what they go through all week. You know, it's not that bloody easy. No. I mean, a good mate of mine, Tom Smith, plays for Gloucester, as you know.
Left arm spinner,
brilliant lad. And you know what he's had to put up with at times throughout the week, and then he turns up to play a game, and you think, like, you know, fans criticise, and we all do it. We try not to criticise players as such, but I love the fact that it was, you know, they go through a lot of stuff during the week and they still perform, and that's why they're professional athletes, because you know it's brilliant. And I know Harry Randall's gonna have, you know, he's got two lovely little kids there now, and that is only gonna make him, it's gonna fulfill him for the, you know,
big challenge
for the future.
Big challenge if he gets picked for the summer tour though.
That's different, but I think they'll work it out. I mean, it is,
they will.
He's a professional sportsman. Another thing was, he's 26.
I know.
It felt like it was decades ago we saw him at Artbury playing for Artbury Gloucester.
Well, he hasn't aged at all. He still looks 12.
Absolutely. But I mean, it feels like he's been around for ages.
No, he's it was 6 years ago because it came up on Facebook, didn't it? And there was a bit about that when we queued for half an hour for a beer in the first half and queued for an hour for a taxi home at the end of the game.
And Miles slagged me off saying I actually look smart. I'd never look that smart ever again.
So Harry Randall, we love him. I think he's playing the best that he's played in his career. So let's hope he gets the recognition he deserves. And then finally, I can't tell my fellow members of the NEU, National Education Union, but I was the one that read the Daily Mail article. This was about Bernard Jansie van Rensburg.
We forced you, didn't we?
And it was brilliant. I mean, the takeaway from that, and I read it Mail Online. I didn't go and buy the Mail. But what I loved about it was that it gave us some insight into how the signing came about. And basically, after Irish folded, he went back to his farm somewhere in the middle of nowhere in South Africa and got a kind of call, a Zoom call from Pat Lam. And the Wi-Fi was all sketchy and he couldn't really hear him. And basically, on the basis of a, I mean, it shows you how good Pat is at persuading people stuff. Because on the basis of a sketchy internet connection, I mean, maybe Pat, you know, couldn't quite see the mullet, quite the extent of
the mullet
of Yancey's, of Bernard's mullet, and maybe might put him off a bit. But yeah, I love the fact that he was basically just knocking around, what? And if no one had, Pat hadn't called him, this is a wait, what a wasted talent in the High Veld, wherever it was.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he, I mean, what I love about him is that he has come to the Bears and he is, I mean, he's given 100% commitment. He's just, I mean, we took the mickey a little bit with his post-match the other week about how he's kind of straight talking, cliche ridden, but that's what you want. You don't want any kind of faff around. You want something, when you want players to be 100% focused, you want them to not and have like distractions.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
stuff.
Do you know, I love the fact that he hates it. He hates the interviews.
Yeah.
He absolutely hates. And it's all, I just,
he loves his farm.
There's something so real, and we all love our countryside.
Yeah,
being out in the open.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And we got to keep him. Oh, we got to keep him.
Absolutely, break the bank. He's a cult hero. He could be a legend for us.
Yeah. Well, I think he is on a more than a year's contract.
Yeah, he is. I think he is. You know, but we need to keep him further.
Further than that, absolutely.
Well, look, lads, I think we're going to call it a day there. We've managed to wrap it on for just within our parameters.
One more thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a, you know, the unfortunate loss of the Bristol Bears women today in Sarries in the Allianz Cup final, which through logistical nightmares, child juggling, that Pete and I, unfortunately.
Not literally, I hope, Miles.
No, literally. I only had one child.
It'd be a safeguarding issue.
But Pete and I couldn't make it up. However, the brilliant fact was we both watched it on live YouTube, the whole match this afternoon, cast it onto my TV.
So the club do know how to do that. Oh, no, yeah. it was Premier Women's Rugby that did it,
But it was good. You know, there was a slight sketchy signal, really, on someone's sort of camcorder. But it was great. And, you know, and the Bristol women put up a fantastic fight. They were in it until 60 minutes. There were two amazing tries by Deborah Willis.
Yeah.
Lovely another try by the 15s, Ella Lovibond or Lovibond?
Lovibond.
Lovibond.
Yeah. Ella Lovibond.
And all three backs tries, which is unfortunately, we came slightly unstuck to, you can only describe that the powerhouse that were the Sarries women's pack.
Yeah.
And I think statistically, I think they've won all of their cup games from points scored by the forwards. I believe we've won all ours pretty much scored by the backs. And it just showed they were so powerful in the second half. And hats off to Sarries, but it was great. Pat Lam was there.
Fez is off to Sarries.
Yeah, Fez is off. Pat Lam was there supporting. Yeah. Obviously, I think I heard a lot of the Red Roses, Bristol Bears women had flown back
great,
with very sore heads. And fantastic, really. Crowd of like over 1,000 there. So hats off to them. It just didn't quite make it on the day. But yeah, great shout out.
Yeah, it looked good on YouTube,
it
actually.
Did, didn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
We fell short, but we should say is what an achievement to get to the final to start with.
Quite. Yeah.
And next season, those ladies will learn from that experience, and precisely, you know, they'll be a better team. Next
and even
year.
The lady from Poole came up with a big drum.
Yeah, she was. They did.
She was there out on TV.
I mean, there was about three camera angles. And you know what? I did text my mate Paul and said, "You fancy a beer?" He goes, "No, I can't. I'm up near Frenchay doing a job." So maybe it was Paul, our mate Paul Wyatt was doing the old live stream.
Maybe.
Maybe we got him a foot in the door from, you know, word had got around about the Bears Beyond the Gate live stream. Yeah. It's like, if you manage to get that recorded live, you could do anything.
If you work with Bears Beyond the Gate, it's like, don't work with dogs.
Yeah. Children.
Don't work with animals, don't work with children, animals, and Bears Beyond the Gate.
Which is kind of those two things put together, isn't it?
At the end.
Yeah, right. Okay, I think on that note, we'll leave it there.
Exactly.
So everybody, I hope you've had a great week. I hope you enjoyed the sweet, sweet taste of victory against the Salty Tigers. We had the sweet taste against the Salty Tigers.
Indeed.
Have a good week. Stay safe and up the Bears.